So, Watson, what do you make of that?
What am I supposed to make of it?
Oh, come on, Doctor, you know my methods. Observe and deduce. Observe and deduce.
Holmes, where did this come from?
Well, there are two answers to that.
Two answers?
At least.
What's the first?
It arrived in the post this morning.
Who sent it?
There was no letter.
No letter?
No.
Is the second answer equally unhelpful?
It's more interesting.
It could hardly be less interesting.
True.
Well?
Well, what?
Holmes, what is the second answer? Where did this thing come from?
I can't be absolutely sure.
Right.
As you know, I never guess.
Yes, I know.
But if my deductions are correct...
Holmes...
It was extracted from the stomach of a dead millionaire.
The Peculiar Persecution of Mr. John Vincent Harden by Bert Cools. With Clive Medicine as Sherlock Holmes and Andrew Sachs as Dr. John Watson. And featuring Jane Asher as Mrs. Harden. The Peculiar Persecution of Mr. John Vincent Harden.
You're not serious.
I'm always serious. Well, almost always.
And how in the world did you deduce that?
Well, first things first, Doctor. The object itself. Describe it.
Well, what's the point? We can both see the thing.
In some ancient cultures, they believe...
These wouldn't be ancient Eastern cultures by any chance.
In some ancient Eastern cultures, they believe that to describe a thing is to know it.
Yes, and in some modern Western cultures, they believe that to infuriate a fellow lodger beyond endurance is to risk unreasoning acts of violence.
You, my dear fellow, never.
No, I wouldn't be so sure.
No, I never can get your limits. Actually, it's a perfectly sound idea. I'll give it a try.
Yes, all right, all right. It's made of metal, highly polished.
Chromium-plated?
It's cylindrical, about, an inch and a half long by half an inch in diameter. Pointed at one end, blunt at the other. The squared-off end is, what's the word?
Knurled?
That's it, yes.
Roughened to afford a grip.
And the pointed end has a series of grooves cut round it.
Bravo! You have it.
Well, hardly. I hate to argue with your ancient Eastern cultures, but I've still no idea what it actually is. Unless... Holmes, is it some sort of bullet?
An intelligent deduction, given where it was found. I had the same notion.
Ah, then I'm right. Killed by a chromium-plated bullet. That has to be unique.
I'm afraid not.
Good Lord, it's not unique?
It's not a bullet. Even a surface as hard as that would bear the marks of having been fired from a gun or rifle. There are a few scratches, but they're the wrong sort at the wrong end, the pointed end.
If it's not a bullet, what the devil is it?
I haven't the faintest notion.
Oh. Well, then, what on earth makes you think it came from the stomach of a dead millionaire?
I did say I couldn't be sure.
I know you better than that. You've a pretty good idea.
Yes. Take a look at the wrapping paper.
Well, perfectly ordinary brown parcel paper.
Mm-hmm.
Stamps. Address written on a gum paper label. What about it?
Well, there are several indications. Firstly, the paper isn't exactly perfectly ordinary. It's distinctly superior in quality. Mm-hmm. The same is true of the address label. You notice, of course, that part of the label's been cut away.
Show me.
There. So one long edge is slightly jagged.
Oh, you're right.
The label has a printed return address, which tells us...
That, whoever sent you this sends out a good number of parcels?
Exactly so, exactly so. Why else bother to have labels printed? The handwriting's clear and confident. An educated man. And he uses a good quality pen and expensive ink. Now, smell the paper.
Smell it?
Yes.
Well, if you say so.
Well?
What am I supposed to find?
Well, try the inside.
Is that tobacco?
In a way.
In a way? In what way?
Well, try the evidence of the box.
What box?
The box which contained the metal cylinder.
The box you conveniently forgot to mention.
Here.
Thank you. I know. Observe and deduce. It's cardboard, rectangular, with a close-fitting lid. There was another label glued to the lid, but it's been torn away. Inside, lined with smooth, glossy paper.
Sell it, sell it.
I was going to. Same as the paper, but stronger. No, it's not tobacco. I can't quite place it.
Snuff.
Ah, that's it. Never cared for it.
No, nor I. But it's one of Brother Mycroft's weaknesses. And if I'm right, that's not just snuff. It's very expensive, exclusive snuff.
But, snuff isn't usually kept in boxes like this, surely?
I believe that's a sample box for sending out small quantities to shops or as a gift.
Ah.
Right, so, what do we have? Money, snuff, a mysterious object, an anonymous parcel from an educated man, and this final element in the puzzle which I believe you'll have no problems in recognizing. Yeah. The metal cylinder was wrapped in that.
Oh, this is surgical gauze.
Exactly. Smell it, Doctor.
Somehow I just knew you were going to say that.
Your diagnosis?
Preserving fluid.
Yes.
Someone tried to preserve a polished metal cylinder.
I fancy the smell comes from the gauze's former location, not its use. Does the name John Vincent Harden mean anything to you?
The tobacco millionaire?
The late tobacco millionaire.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And it's been kept out of the papers. He was found dead in his study a few days ago.
Heart attack?
Bullet.
Wait, he was murdered?
Shot at close range by an assassin who was seen but can't be identified.
A mysterious stranger?
I thought it might appeal to your sense of the melodramatic.
Murder? So, there will have been a post-mortem?
Exactly. And the following day, or near enough, this little puzzle arrives to perplex us. Wrapped in gauze, which reeks of the mortician slab in a box used for high-quality snuff, hardened snuff, if I'm right. Is it so unreasonable to suggest that this mysterious metal cylinder was found inside the dead man's body?
I suppose not.
But the stomach's something of a leap in the dark, I admit it.
A guess, in other words.
Oh, certainly not.
Yes, but why was there no letter?
Ah, now I believe it's a test.
A test?
To see if I'm up to the task. If I can deduce who sent it and why, I'll be judge fit to investigate what it all means.
Damnable cheek.
Oh, I don't know. It served to capture my attention.
So, who did send it?
At first I thought it might be Harden's widow, but the writing on the label is unmistakably masculine. And I suspect it was the dead man's secretary or personal assistant working on the widow's behalf.
Yes, I suppose that's possible.
Rather more than merely possible, I fancy. Anyway, we'll know soon.
We shall?
I telegraphed the widow soon after I received the parcel. She'll reply straight away.
Well, it'll be a touch embarrassing if you're wrong.
Don't concern yourself. I'm not wrong.
Mr. Holmes, I'm impressed.
Thank you.
Your stories do not exaggerate, Doctor.
No, I've never found it necessary, Mrs. Harden.
No, I can understand that. Mr. Holmes, you are right in every particular. That object was in my husband's stomach. The police appear to be completely baffled.
And I suggest that in this instance, appearances are not deceptive.
Are you baffled, Mr. Holmes?
I am intrigued.
So you will accept the case?
I must warn you that the trail will almost certainly have gone cold. The presence of the British policeman is guaranteed to eradicate most clues, I'm afraid.
Mr. Holmes, I wish to know who killed John and why. If you won't help me, I'm quite certain that no one else can.
In that case, how can I refuse?
This is a magnificent house, Mrs. Harden.
Thank you, Doctor.
Where exactly is your husband's office?
It's one of a suite of offices, custom built in the new wing. The hub of the empire, John liked to call it.
A suite of offices implies a number of administrative staff.
Just two. Michael Phillips, my husband's personal assistant, and Miss Johnston, who does the typing and filing.
Oh, perhaps Mr. Phillips could tell us what happened on the day of your husband's... perhaps you could tell us what happened on the day.
I appreciate your delicacy, Dr. Watson, but it isn't necessary. I can tell you myself. Some of it, at least. Thank you. John rarely received visitors here, but it did happen from time to time. 5 days ago, a man called to see him.
Did you see this man yourself?
No, there's a separate entrance to the offices.
Who did see him, Mrs. Harden?
Miss Johnston was off that day. Mr. Phillips let the man in and escorted him through to John's office.
And then I went back to my own. Mr. Sherlock Holmes, I presume.
And my associate, Dr. Watson.
Mr. Phillips.
Doctor, you passed the test then, Mr. Holmes?
Self-evidently. Was this visitor expected?
He was not. He just turned up at the door.
Did Mr. Harden usually receive people without an appointment?
No, Doctor.
So why was this instance an exception?
When I took in the man's name...
Not his card?
He didn't offer a card. Wasn't really the type.
Well, we'll come to his type in a moment. When you took in the name...
Mr. Harden immediately asked me to show him in.
How did he react to the name?
I've just told you, by asking me to admit the man.
Yes, yes, yes. But how did he react? With interest, with fear, with joy? How?
I could see nothing in particular.
Indeed. Mrs. Harden...
Mr. Holmes.
I've no wish to distress you unduly.
I am not easily distressed, sir.
So I observe. But nonetheless, perhaps you'll be kind enough to return to the main house and wait for us there.
Very well. Gentlemen.
Mrs. Harden.
Now, Mr. Phillips, there are two things you can do for me.
And what might they be?
Firstly, show me your office.
Surely you mean Mr. Harden's office?
Your office. And secondly...
Yes?
You can stop lying and start telling me the truth.
This is my office, or do you believe...
Please,
that
sir, stay here in the doorway.
Or do you believe that I'm lying about that, too?
One moment, please. Yes. It's very good. Very good, you may enter.
I'm much obliged to you. May I be permitted to know just what I've been lying about?
About Mr. Harden's reaction to his visitor's name. Please, don't bother to deny it.
Very well. But it was for the very best of motives.
To protect Mrs. Harden from the truth.
Exactly.
And what is the truth?
It seemed to me, Mr. Holmes, that when I announced the name...
Well, go on, Mr. Phillips. This will not go beyond these walls.
Well, he went as white as a sheet. He was as scared as I've ever seen a man.
Fascinating. I take it that this wasn't exactly in character.
Most definitely not. Mr. Harden was fearless.
Well, not always, it seems. You may show me Harden's office now, but before you do...
What?
Be so good as to tell us this name that drove such terror into the heart of a fearless man.
Mr. Holmes, the visitor's name was Mr. John Smith.
Oh, exactly as I feared. If Scotland Yard had driven a herd of buffaloes through here, there could hardly be more mess. When will they learn?
May we come in?
Yes, 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 yes. Add to the mayhem. Now, Mr. Phillips, did you observe this John Smith's departure?
I could hardly have failed to do so. After I heard the gunshot, I rushed out into the corridor and the man practically knocked me down.
Deliberately so?
I don't think he even saw me. He was rushing to get out.
Did you try to catch him?
No. Well, not at first. I came here. To Mr. Harden's office.
You stopped in the doorway, took in the sight, then turned back and ran after the man Smith.
How on earth do you know that?
I see it. I deduce it. Even Her Majesty's constabulary hadn't succeeded in removing all the traces. Now, what did you see when you reached the door to the outside?
Nothing. He had disappeared.
And so you returned here?
Yes. Dear God, it was a horrible sight.
Now, where exactly was the body?
Face down, beside the desk.
Show me.
Here.
Show me exactly.
You want me to lie down?
The position may be of vital importance.
If I must.
Yes.
There.
Thank you. Thank you. And the gun. I understand it was left behind.
Yes. May I?
Oh, yes, if you wish. Yes, 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 yes. Now, you were saying the gun?
Underneath Mr. Harden's body. There must have been a struggle and he fell forward.
Was this window open?
Yes. Mr. Harden was fond of fresh air.
That is immensely significant. I take it you described Mr. John Smith to the police.
As best I could. He was a nondescript sort of man. Mid-twenties, rather coarsely spoken, but uncommonly well-dressed. Too well, if you ask me.
No? Can you be more specific?
His suit was expensively cut, but he wore it as though he'd never owned one before.
Describe the gunshot.
Describe it? It was just a shot.
Yes, well, I dare say that you don't routinely encounter gunshots in your line of work.
Of course not.
Now, I appreciate that you don't have many grounds for comparison, but I ask you again, please try to describe the shot.
What is there to say?
Well, for example, this room is panelled in oak. There's not much soft material to absorb sound. The shot would have been reverberant, echoing.
Actually, Doctor, it wasn't. It was rather a dull sort of sound.
And not as loud as you'd expect a firearm to be.
Well, yes, that did occur to me.
Show me the door to the outside.
Not more than a minute had gone by, but he was nowhere to be seen.
You alerted the staff.
The grounds were searched at once.
And the house?
I beg your pardon?
Well, surely it occurred to someone that the man could simply have come back inside the house until the human cry was over.
We didn't search the house, and neither did the police.
Well, even if he didn't go back inside, there are dozens of places out here he could have hidden.
So we've had sufficient rain to wash away the most obvious of traces. Mr. Phillips, you will wait in your office. Watson, let's see what we can rescue from this mess.
Close the door. There's a good fellow.
Right.
Yeah, Mr. Phillips is well within earshot, I fancy.
You suspect him?
Why, hasn't it struck you that we only have his word for it, that the mysterious Mr. Smith was here at all?
Well, yes, it has. But why would Phillips want to murder Harden? He has had a good job, obviously well paid, lots of responsibility.
We must investigate our millionaire's will. Oh, what do you make of the late Mr. John Vincent Harden?
From his office, you mean? Mm. Well, it's neat and tidy, so I dare say he was methodical in his thoughts, and beyond that...
Oh, I think we can go just a little further. He was a man from a humble background who enjoyed the affection of his father. He was ambitious in his youth, somewhat ruthless in later years, but more mellow as he approached retirement. His work took him all over the world, but he didn't play a direct role in the day-to-day running of the business empire. His marriage was content, and his general sense of modesty was marked. He was dissatisfied with his lot in life and yearned for a simpler, more primitive existence.
My dear Holmes.
Is it really possible you don't see all this for yourself?
Oh, please, you know perfectly well that I don't.
Well, there's no great mystery to it. But take a look at the prints and photographs on the walls. The man's whole history is here. Our late millionaire's father ran a cigarette stand on King's Cross Station and was joined by his son when he was old enough to help. The later print shows the new sign, Harden and Son. That speaks of pride and affection. The stand has grown somewhat. Ambition on the part of the new employee.
You said he was ruthless.
But he doesn't progress from a cigarette store to a worldwide tobacco empire by being kind and considerate to one's rivals. But he mellowed later. Yes, he was content to step back and let others manage the business. Now, there's nothing here to the tedious day-to-day administration. What else did I say?
His trips around the world? Ah, but I saw that one. Hmm? That's a fine collection of souvenirs on the shelves.
And in the cases. Some of these pieces, very valuable.
The happy marriage.
No man puts a photograph of his wife where only he can see it if the marriage is unhappy. Now, behind that pile of books, you'll just see the edge of a framed certificate, an honorary degree from London University. Only the modest soul will hide such a thing away. And only a man who yearns for a simpler life decorates his walls with paintings of rural idylls and probably happy peasants toiling in the fields. Well...
And Mrs. Harden wonders why I see no need to exaggerate. Bravo, Holmes.
Thank you. But you'd be advised to save your applause until I've actually solved the case. Yes.
Now what are you looking for?
This.
But I don't understand. Why should anyone want to burn a cushion like that?
I'm afraid it was used to muffle the sound of the gunshot.
Oh, how horrible.
Tell me about your husband's trips abroad.
John loved to travel. He said it was to check up on all the foreign offices and factories, but that was just an excuse, I'm sure of it.
Did Mr. Phillips accompany him on these trips?
No, he liked to travel alone.
So you never went with him either, or any of your children?
We have no children.
Of course you don't. If there were children, Watson, their photographs would undoubtedly have been displayed in the office alongside Mrs. Harden.
Really, Holmes? I'm sorry you were never blessed, Mrs. Harden.
Thank you, Doctor. But some things are simply not meant to be.
You didn't say if you ever accompanied your husband.
Roaming around the globe is not for me, Mr. Holmes. I was always content to wait here for John to return. I'm sorry. Please go on with your questions.
Did Mr. Harden have any trips planned for the near future?
No, nothing at all, as far as I know.
Thank you. Just a little more and I'll be finished. Tell me about Mr. John Smith.
I know no one by that name, but surely it must have been false. The police certainly think so.
Well, then I wouldn't presume to disagree. Had Mr. Harden's manner changed at all of late?
In what way?
Well, did he seem at all nervous to you?
Not especially.
Did he take any unusual precautions about the house? locking doors, that sort of thing.
The servants attended to all that.
And you noticed nothing out of the normal?
Nothing. I'm sorry.
It's no matter. What about the mysterious metal cylinder? Watson, do you have it?
Oh, yes. Here.
Mrs. Harden? Before the police extracted this from the body of your late husband, had you ever seen anything like it in his possession?
Never, Mr. Holmes. I give you my word.
As I see it, there are three possibilities.
They are?
He was forced at gunpoint to swallow it.
Alternatively?
It was introduced into his body after death.
Or he
swallowed it himself voluntarily. Why in the world would he do that?
Extend your thinking.
I've been trying.
Why would a man swallow something other than good, wholesome food or drink?
Well, any number of drugs have to be taken orally.
I doubt if small metal cylinders have any great medical efficacy.
I've heard of items being swallowed in order to smuggle them from one country to another. And he travelled all over the world, we know that. If the cylinder is hollow...
I'm afraid it isn't. And besides, there were no trips planned, assuming that the grieving widow is being entirely honest with you.
Surely you don't suspect her?
Well, there are parallel cases in the annals. I mean, did you think she was telling us the whole truth?
Maybe she was concealing something. About Harden's state of mind?
Yes, I wondered about that. An unexpected visitor with an everyday name doesn't normally induce fear, unless the man or the name is feared already.
Is it possible...
Go on.
Well, this sounds ridiculous on the face of it, but is it possible that the metal cylinder and the murder are totally unconnected?
Oh, there you are.
Ah, brilliant observation, Watson.
Mrs. Hudson has been muttering about ruined pork chops.
Yes, the wheels of officialdom do not turn to suit Mrs. Hudson's mealtimes, I'm afraid. Can they do? Eventually, at least.
Did you get it?
I swear to you, Watson, it's easier to get a confession out of a murderer than a post-mortem report out of Scotland Yard. Are you going to eat that potato?
No.
Oh,
delicious. You're welcome. Well,
what?
What's it say?
Well... exactly what you'd expect it to say. A single gunshot at close range, death instantaneous. No disease, deformity, or inherited defects. There are two interesting observations.
What are they?
No damage of any kind to the teeth or jaw, and no evidence of bruising or manipulation to the neck.
So the cylinder wasn't forced down his gullet after death?
No, seemingly not.
Perhaps I'm right, then. Perhaps it has nothing to do with the killing.
Well, we've come across extraordinary coincidences before.
Oh, true enough.
Yes, but it simply doesn't feel right in this case.
That doesn't sound very scientific.
Yes, you're quite correct, but I'm convinced of it. If I can work out what this is, I'll have the key to the murder. I know it. May I have another potato?
No. Have you been up all night?
I didn't disturb you,
Oh, not in the least. Any progress?
Not in the least.
Oh, let's ring for some breakfast.
Do you think Mrs. Hudson will have forgiven me for wasting yesterday's dinner?
She probably gave it to the cat. That's what she usually does.
Really? I had no idea. So that's why it's been getting so fat lately. I deduced a plague of mice below stairs. Yes, ring for breakfast, Doctor, or the poor creature will be in grave danger of exploding.
What are your plans for today?
Back to the house, I think. Or more particularly, the garden.
To see just how the mysterious Mr. Smith managed to vanish so completely.
Actually, I'm more interested in why.
Why? Because he just murdered Harden, of course.
But had he? Had he? You were quite right. Any number of places to hide. Even the open path curves around those trees within 50 yards. We're wasting our time here.
At least we're out in this glorious weather.
If John Smith did shoot Harden in cold blood, there's every chance we'll never be able to find out why.
Could he have been a business rival?
Not from Philip's description. And besides, business rivalries are usually resolved by subtler means, if no less vicious. Back to Harden's office, I think. Everything comes down to this cylinder.
Now, let's assume that Harden swallowed it voluntarily.
But why on earth would he?
Are you game for an experiment?
Well, if it'll help. And as long as you're not going to ask me to swallow that.
Rest easy, Doctor. Let me see. The body was discovered here.
Well, according to Phillips?
Yeah, from the traces on the floor, he was telling the truth. So, if he fell there, he must have been standing here. Do you agree?
Well, it seems logical.
Capital, take his place, would you?
What, you want me to be Harden?
If you would.
Oh, very well.
And I am the elusive Mr. Smith. Right. The door is closed. We face each other across the room.
Holmes, this is getting us nowhere.
Patience, Doctor. I have a gun. You have this.
Got it.
I'm about to shoot you, and you decide to swallow that. Why?
To prevent anyone else getting it. No, to prevent you getting it. Holmes, suppose he was killed for the cylinder.
Then why do I shoot you and run? Why don't I try to retrieve it? No attempt was made to mutilate the corpse.
Perhaps you didn't have time.
Now, if I'm bold enough to kill with witnesses to hand, I'm certainly bold enough to risk a few moments more.
Well, then, I swallowed it to prevent someone else getting it. Phillips or Mrs. Harden.
Yes, that makes more sense. But when did you swallow it? When?
Well, obviously not long before I was shot.
Let's change places.
Well, you want me to be Smith?
Yes, now? I'm sure your theatrical skills are up to it. Come on. Cylinder, please.
Yep.
Thank you. Now, I am Harden. You brandish your gun at me. You say...
Prepare to die.
Very good, Watson. And I say, no, no, don't shoot me. At least not until I've swallowed this. No. It simply won't do.
It doesn't exactly sound likely. Then nothing to do with that damn cylinder sounds likely.
As usual, you've got straight to the heart of the problem. How high off the ground is this window? Ah, not far. That's excellent.
Why is it?
Because I've no wish to break my neck.
Holmes! Come in.
Sorry to intrude, gentlemen. I thought Mr. Holmes was in here.
He was, Mrs. Harden. He's following up a clue.
Oh, I came to ask if you'll be requiring luncheon.
Oh, that's very good of you. I'll go and ask him by the conventional route.
Your client thinks you've taken leave of your senses. She's offered us luncheon. Holmes.
What is that object, Watson? Why do I feel that the answer's staring me in the face?
I'll take a break from it, old man. Come in and have something to eat.
No. I can't spare the energy.
Well, I hope you don't mind if I do. Perhaps I'll eat on the terrace. This weather's wonderful.
I envy you your simple pleasures.
Don't envy me. Join me. Look at the way the trees are silhouetted against the sky, like those old-fashioned cut-out portraits. Hmm? Oh, for heaven's sake, Holmes.
My dear Watson. My dear Watson.
What? You thought of something.
Never again shall I criticize your glorious habit of thinking in only two dimensions.
Only you can be quite so insulting and complimentary all at the same time.
Hmm.
Well, come on, what do you mean, two dimensions?
I'll show you. Look at this. Hmm? Solid metal. Cylindrical, yes?
Yes. Oh, I've never seen anything like it before.
Well, neither have I, but suppose I hold it up to the light.
You're not trying to tell me it's transparent.
Well, of course not. I'm asking you to look at its profile. Think in two dimensions. Now there. You see?
Holmes, I'm sorry.
Squared off at one end, pointed at the other with a series of V-shaped grooves.
Well, it looks like... Oh, dear God. Is it a key?
It's a key. Close the door. Now, if I'm right, and this is a key, what does it unlock?
Why make a key such a peculiar shape?
Well, it disguises its true purpose. The lock is somewhere in this room.
How do you know?
Well, this is Harden's sanctum, his private domain. It has to be in here. A secret lock opened with a disguised key known to no one but its owner. A triple layer of security. Whatever that lock protects is valuable indeed. But where is it? Where is it?
Holmes, this room may be a private sanctum, but it still has to be cleaned.
Yes, probably by some undermaid or tweeny too odd to ask questions or pry where she's not wanted.
No, she still might have noticed something. It has to be worth a try.
It does, you're right. Find the girl and bring her here.
Come in, Annie. Don't be scared.
No, sir.
Sit down, Annie.
I couldn't, sir.
Please do sit down, Watson.
Yes, sir. Here.
Thank you, sir.
This is the first time Annie's been in here since it happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm very grateful to you, Annie.
You are, sir?
You're being very brave. Now, this won't take long, and you might well be helping us to find out who killed your master.
I might, sir.
Yes, indeed. Now, I understand that your duties included cleaning in this room.
Yes, sir.
Did anyone else do so as well?
No, sir. It was my job. The master picked me out special.
Very good. And did he give you any special instructions?
Sir?
Well, did he ask you not to disturb the papers on his desk? Anything like that?
Oh, I see. Well, yes, he did ask me that. I never did, not once.
No, of course you didn't. Now, think carefully, Annie. Was there anything else in this room that he asked you never to touch? Anything else at all?
Well, yes, sir. There was.
You'll have given her quite a standing with the rest of the staff. How I helped Sherlock Holmes. Huh, she'll be telling that story for years.
She deserves all the attention she can get.
You really think she's given us the answer?
She was forbidden to go near two things. The surface of the desk and this display cabinet. What other explanation could there be?
Well, perhaps these are the rarest souvenirs, the most valuable.
There are far more exotic items in the other cases. Well, now, let's have a look at the door. Well, well.
What?
It isn't locked. The perfect smoke screen. Now,
Holmes!
Relax, Doctor. I told you. Cheap trinkets for undemanding tourists. Now, let me see. Harden was even cleverer than I thought. Ah.
What is it? A safe?
Yes. With a most individual style of lock. A mysterious cylinder goes in and turns. Et voila.
What's inside?
This. Behold the item that the late Mr. Harden was at such pains to conceal from the world.
A checkbook.
A checkbook. In the name of... Fascinating. In the name of Mr. John Smith.
I simply don't understand this at all.
Well, Mr. Holmes, can you explain this madness?
I doubt very much if madness is involved, Mr. Phillips. This checkbook is a most interesting document.
Yes, the latest in a long series, if the serial numbers are correct.
Are the counterfoils filled in?
With admirable clarity. The baffling Mr. Smith has been writing out his checks with the precision of a chronometer. One every month, always on the first, always for £20... And always payable to...
Well?
And always payable to... Mr. John Smith.
What?
This is ludicrous.
On the contrary, it makes perfect sense, as is the fact that the last three checks are not for £20, but for 200.
Mr. Holmes, if this makes sense to you, then for heaven's sake, explain it to me.
I should prefer to wait until I have all the facts at my disposal.
And how long will that take, pray?
Not long. Not long at all.
At last! I was beginning to think they'd locked you up in a vault.
Yeah, they would have liked to. Sir, this is the oldest and most exclusive bank in the city. You're not in the habit of handing out our clients' confidential details to private investigators.
So you drew a blank?
Certainly not. I obtained all the information I needed.
How?
I threatened them with a lestrade, a top-level investigation by Scotland Yard. The prospect was so horrific they practically welcomed me with open arms.
Well done.
The official force does have its uses, after all, it seems.
What did you discover?
Not here. Let's get back home.
Oh, that's better.
Well, don't get too comfortable. We'll be off out again soon. Your leg will stand in.
Oh, certainly.
Good man, good man.
But I'm not stirring from this chair until you've told me what happened at the bank.
What happened was that my theories were proved correct. As I suspected, the majority of the checks were simply cashed over the counter.
Well, surely that was obvious. Why else would Smith make them out to himself?
Well, quite. But also, as I suspected, the final three checks were paid into another quite separate account. Almost certainly by another quite separate man.
Oh, dear God.
We're dealing with more than one John Smith?
I believe so. Fortunately...
Oh, please, Holmes, no dramatic pauses.
Oh, you know, you take all the fun out of this sometimes. Fortunately, I've discovered the first Mr. Smith's address. Aha!
Well, what have you been searching for?
My Bradshaw. Pack your bag, Doctor. We have to go to Wales.
Wales?
Wales! Look at those mountains.
Yeah, I thought you'd appreciate the view.
Mm. Ah, and the air. Oh, Baker Street might be a million miles away. The rush, the filth, the crime.
Watson, crime is why we're here. Try to keep your mind on the matter in hand. Malcanthroi nad roedd.
And what?
The game's afoot. Come on.
Ah.
Try again.
Yes?
Mr. John Smith?
Who's asking?
My name is Sherlock Holmes.
Then you'd better come in.
When did you discover the truth?
4 months ago.
And the blackmail started soon afterwards.
Seems to me you know all the answers already.
Well, I'm damned if I do. Will somebody please explain what all this is about?
Mr. Smith? Very well. It falls to me, then. Perhaps you'll be good enough to correct me if I go wrong. Just as you please. Watson, you'll excuse the fact that some of this is supposition.
No, willingly. Just tell me.
Very well. Do you recall my character sketch of the late John Vincent Harden? I particularly mentioned his humble origins and yearning for a simpler life.
You did.
It's my belief that Harden did more than yearn. He created just such a life for himself.
Good God.
Some, 20-odd years ago, our millionaire came here and somehow set himself up as plain poor John Smith. He married a local girl.
And made her life a misery.
I find that hard to believe. You may have been poor, but did you ever actually go without? I'll wager there was always food on the table and a roof over your head. Well?
We went without him. He was away more than he was here. What sort of a family life is that?
What explanation did he give you? Did he invent some sort of job?
Oh, he always had his reasons. Jobs, travelling. Who travels from these parts? And if they do, they don't come back.
He came back.
Only to leave again.
And you came back too. Holmes, this is the man who called on Harden?
Oh, yes. And this is the man who'd been blackmailing him these last 4 months.
You were blackmailing your own father?
He was no father to me. And no husband to my poor mother.
Which explains the final few checks for such huge amounts. The fact that the names were the same threw me at first. Until I realized the truth. The first ones were for Harden himself. His income as Smith, regularly cashed by his other self. The last three were blackmail payments to his son.
I wanted what I was due. What we were both due. He had millions.
What happened to your mother?
She died last year. She worked herself to death keeping this place together for when her loving husband deigned to come home. And for me, she killed herself to give me some kind of a future. And he spent more in a week than she made in a year.
Did your mother die before you found out the truth?
Oh, yes. She went to her grave still loving him.
A characteristic which you plainly have not inherited. If your mother is dead, why are you still here? Why did you come back?
There's a girl. I'm trying to persuade her to go away with me.
A woman. I should have known it.
Holmes, wait a minute. If it was Smith here who called on Harden that day, then surely it was Smith who killed him.
You take that back! I'm no murderer!
Oh, take the hand
easy,
off
me, easy, oh. Easy. Watson, are you all right?
Yes, I believe so, yes.
I know you're no murderer, Smith.
You do? Then why are you here?
Because all the answers are here. Was that the first time you confronted him face to face? When he was in his other life, I mean?
Yes. The rest was all by letter.
You told him you were coming.
Proper put the wind up him, that did.
But the meeting degenerated into a shouting match.
He was raving.
What exactly did he say to you?
What the rich always say. He offered me money. More money than I'd ever dreamed of. All I had to do was go away and never come back. Do you know what he said? He said we were a mistake. A mistake. I told him there wasn't enough money in the world to buy me.
Was that when he produced the gun?
It was in his desk. And something else, too. I thought it was a bottle or something. He swallowed it whole. What the devil was all that about?
It's not important.
Then he just stared at me. He shook his head, like he didn't know me at all. And he grabbed up a cushion and he
shot himself through the heart.
Dear Lord.
I'm afraid it's all true. Smith made a full confession to the police.
And your husband's bank will confirm the regular payments into his alter ego's account.
I never had the slightest suspicion. Never.
He concealed everything quite brilliantly.
Hence his distress when the boy threatened to expose him.
I can understand Mr. Harden being so distraught, but to kill himself...
Well, I suspect that he could see no way out without grievously injuring you, Mrs. Harden. The knowledge of his other life, and especially the fact that his other wife had given him a son...
You don't need to say anything more, Mr. Holmes. Oh, how could I have been so blind? Why didn't I see how distressed he must have been?
Mrs. Harden, you must consider yourself now. You're in shock. When the full realization hits you, is there someone you can be with? Someone you can trust?
There is, Doctor. Don't worry about me. But when I think about that poor woman, what she must have gone through... I've never known what it's like to go without. How could he do that to her? And to his...
I'll arrange for your own doctor to see you. It would be best.
Mr. Holmes?
Mrs. Harden.
I should like to see the boy. Would that be permitted, do you think? Perhaps I might do something to ease his pain.
What an extraordinary woman.
It's been an extraordinary case all round.
Extraordinary is the word. Extraordinary that Harden was collected enough to swallow that damning key.
But not enough to realise that there'd certainly be a post-mortem. Far from hiding it, he actually managed to ensure that the key would be found.
Why on earth did he use a cushion to deaden the sound of the shot?
I've been wondering about that. Did he want to suggest that Smith had murdered him? Or was he hoping that the sound wouldn't be heard at all and the boy would have the chance to get away?
Well, I'm afraid the answer's gone with him to the grave. Imagine his state of mind at the end. Blackmailed by his own son. Suddenly made to see that he'd ruined two families by his selfishness, and both of them his own. Was ever a man haunted by a stranger agony? What will happen to Smith, do you think?
Blackmail is no small offence. But money and position can work wonders. I rather believe that Mrs. Harden will do what she can for him. After that, who knows? Who knows?
In The Peculiar Persecution of Mr. John Vincent Harden, Sherlock Holmes was played by Clive Medicine and Dr. John Watson by Andrew Sachs. Mrs. Harden was played by Jane Asher, Phillips by David Thorpe, Annie by Claire Corbett, and Smith by Peter Darney. The violinist was Leonard Friedman. The Peculiar Persecution of Mr. John Vincent Harden was written by Bert Cools from a reference in the short story The Solitary Cyclist by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. The director was Patrick Rayner.